Welcome to the Bright Beams Broadcast with Brother Ed Hicks, a broadcast for the proclamation of the unchanging truths of God's Word in a changing world.
I have been speaking on the subject, the soul of a man. 3 John 2 and 3, Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. You might have heard of a poem entitled The Touch of the Master's Hand. It told of a battered and scarred violin that went up for auction. The bidding was low until a gray-haired man came forward and picked up the bow. He tightened the strings and played it, and after the music had ceased, the auctioneer began again, and the bids went up thousands of dollars higher. The question was asked, what changed its worth? And the reply came, the touch of a master's hand. Then the poem continues saying, And many a man with life out of tune and battered and scarred by sin is auctioned cheap to a thoughtless crowd, much like the old violin. A mess of pottage, a glass of wine, a game, and he travels on. He's going once and going twice. He's going and almost gone. But the master comes, and the foolish crowd never can quite understand the worth of a soul and the change that's wrought by the touch of the master's hand. End of quote. What is a soul worth? Even if a man had gained the whole world, he wouldn't have enough to redeem his own soul from hell. It takes the precious blood of Jesus Christ to redeem the soul. Our souls could not have been redeemed by corruptible things. It took the incorruptible, precious blood of Jesus Christ to redeem men's souls. Another poem from years ago begins, I'd walk life's way with an easy tread, had followed where pleasures and comforts led, until one day in a quiet place, I met my master face to face. With station and rank and wealth for my goal, much thought for my body but none for my soul, I'd enter to win in life's mad race when I met the master face to face. End of quote. Have you given much thought to your soul? Thank God for men and women that are soul conscious. The soul of a man can be vexed, can faint, can be knit to the soul of another, can thirst for God, can be cast down and disquieted, can be converted, can be restored, can be humbled and chastened, can praise the Lord, can be kept from some troubles, can be anchored, and can prosper. Soul prosperity is more important than physical, financial, or material prosperity. Contentment is a good state of the soul. Many a man has neglected his soul in pursuit of financial or material prosperity. Then consider this. The soul of a man can be saved temporarily, and it can be saved everlastingly. The souls of the saved are saved from hell and the second death forever. If you are saved, you shall not go to hell. You cannot go to hell. Your soul must go to heaven. But by the grace of God, we should save our souls from unnecessary soul troubles in this life. The heart and mind of a man might be spared much distress by obeying the Word of God. Save your soul from troubles because of your own untamed tongue. Save your soul from idleness and troubles that accompany it. Save your souls from emotional exhaustion. Save your souls from unnecessary vexation and wars. And save your souls from spiritual starvation. Then consider, save your souls from discouragement and doubt. Psalm 42, verse 11, Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, For I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. Question your soul. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Command your soul. Hope thou in God. Acts chapter 28 tells that the Apostle Paul had gathered sticks and laid them on the fire, and a viper came out of the heat and fastened on his hand. Acts 28:5 says, and he shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. Apparently, natives there thought that he should have swelled up or fallen dead suddenly. By way of application, imagine a believer being unexpectedly struck by some event, by some disappointment, by some conflict, by some trial, whereby he is injected with the poisons of doubt and discouragement. Others might expect the believer to swell up with bitterness or anger or to quit on God. But even though the strike might hurt the believer, it does not have to harm him. Shake that beast off and go on for God. There is an antidote to wicked discouragement and doubt. Consider God's remedy. James chapter number 1, verse 21, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. Notice those words, which is able to save your souls. Repent, lay apart, as the Bible said in this verse, all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word of God. Imagine a husbandman with a tree that has not been producing good fruit, and imagine him cutting off and laying apart the top of a young tree that had not produced good fruit and grafting in part of a limb from a tree that has a reputation for producing good fruit. In order to save your soul from unnecessary troubles in this life, repent of sin and receive the engrafted word of God. Lay apart sin and receive the word of God. Submit to the word of God. Then consider two questions. Number one, does God have a soul? Man was created in God's image, but there are certainly differences between God and man. Leviticus 27, verses 11 and 12. And I will set my tabernacle among you, and my soul shall not abhor you. And I will walk among you, and will be your God, and ye shall be my people. God told Israel in that context, my soul shall not abhor you. Judges 10:16. And they put away the strange gods from among them and served the Lord, and his soul was grieved for the misery of Israel. God's soul was grieved for the misery of Israel. God thinks. God has emotions. God speaks. God has a soul. Do animals have souls? Certainly men are not mere animals. Genesis 2:7, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils a breath of life, and man became a living soul. Genesis 2:19, and out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. Adam and the beasts and the fowls were formed out of the ground. God gave man, beasts, and fowls breath. Ecclesiastes 3, verses 19 through 21. For that which befalleth the sons of men befalleth beasts. Even one thing befalleth them, as the one dieth, so dieth the other. Yea, they have all one breath. So that a man hath no preeminence above a beast, for all is vanity, all go to one place. All are of the dust, and all turn to dust again. who knoweth the spirit of man that goeth upward, and the spirit of beast that goeth downward to the earth? It is true that man and beasts and fowls came from the ground, and we should go back to the ground. But God did give man dominion over beasts of the earth. God did not give Adam a helpmeet from the beasts. There is a definite difference between man and beasts. From the 1828 Webster's Dictionary comes these words, and by the way, the 1828 Webster's Dictionary can be a good resource. It is not the scripture, but it can be a good resource to draw from. That dictionary under the word soul says, the spiritual, rational, and immortal substance in man, which distinguishes him from brutes, that part of man which enables him to think and reason, and which renders him a subject of moral government. The immortality of the soul is a fundamental article of the Christian system. Men and beasts are definitely, definitely different. But does an animal have a soul? Listen very carefully to this scripture. Numbers 31, verse 28. And levy a tribute unto the Lord of the men of war which went out to battle, one soul of every 500, both of the persons and of the beeves and of the asses and of the sheep. Those animals had, in a sense, souls. Not just like the souls of men, but in a sense, they had souls. I do not believe that there's a doggy heaven or hell. I do not believe that any good dogs that I have had, and I've had some relatively good dogs, have died and are waiting for me in heaven with wagging tails, looking for me to cross over the river. Different kinds of animals have varying abilities and tendencies to show affection. God has given to each of the kinds of animals some instincts. Some animals might exhibit some instincts that make them seem to have human-like qualities. But no matter how smart and affectionate an animal is, it is merely an animal, and animals and men are different. Some dogs might seem to be much more emotional than other creatures. I have thought in time past, and this may not be the way that some would word it, snakes ain't got much soul. Have you ever had a snake wag its tail because it was glad to see you? And I don't mean like a rattlesnake wagging its tail. Have you ever had a snake give you an affectionate hug? And I don't mean like a boa constrictor trying to squeeze you to death. Some creatures seem to show more affection than others. If I found a poisonous snake in my yard, I might handle it, hoe handle it, or use some other appropriate, safe means to handle it. Animals do not have souls like men do. God has blessed men with souls. We have everlasting souls. There is a biblical three-part breakdown of man. He is body, soul, and spirit. We're not animals. We have everlasting souls.
Why not now? Why not now? Why not come to Jesus now? Why not now? Why not now? Why not come to Jesus now?
If you have any questions concerning this broadcast, give us a call at Lighthouse Baptist Church. The number is 850-610-3041, or visit the website at lbcfl.org. By the grace of God, get ready, be ready, stay ready, for Jesus is coming again.